Welcome back to our podcast, Ancient Egyptian History. I'm your host, and today we're diving deep into a captivating and somewhat overlooked aspect of ancient Egypt, an aspect that tells us so much about the society and its people. Yes, folks, we're delving into the fascinating realm of childhood in ancient Egypt. Let's begin this fascinating journey with an exploration of how childhood itself was defined in ancient Egypt. Childhood, as we understand it today, wasn't necessarily a recognized phase in the ancient Egyptian society, but some intriguing symbols and rituals offer us a glimpse into the subtleties of how children were perceived. Let's start with one of the most visible markers of childhood in ancient Egypt, the hairstyle known as the lock of youth. It was much more than a mere fashion choice. This distinctive side lock, a solitary braid or curl on the side of a shaved head, was symbolic, a sartorial signature that distinguished children from adults. This visual symbol held deep significance within the ancient Egyptian culture, and it was intimately tied to the deity of childhood itself, Horus. You see, Horus was often depicted in hieroglyphs and sculptures as a child with a side lock, making the connection between this hairstyle and the concept of childhood inescapable. One might even say that every child who wore this lock of youth was a living, breathing symbol of Horus, and, by extension, of the sacredness and innocence associated with childhood. But the lock of youth was not a permanent fixture. It was destined to be cut in a ceremony that marked the child's progression towards adulthood. This moment, steeped in rituals, was not just a rite of passage, but a significant event that symbolized the letting go of the innocence of childhood. Picture this: the ceremonial snip of the lock, the hush that falls over the gathering, the sense of anticipation and change. This was a transformative moment, a bridge that connected the realm of childhood to the responsibilities of adulthood. Through the lens of this single hairstyle, the lock of youth, we're offered a snapshot into the life of an ancient Egyptian child and the cultural significance that surrounded their transition into adulthood. It's remarkable, isn't it, how a solitary braid can weave such a compelling narrative about a civilization that existed thousands of years ago. Moving along our journey, let's talk about a pivotal point in the lives of ancient Egyptians, the transition from childhood to adulthood. This was not a subtle, almost unnoticed shift, as it can often be in our modern society, but a marked change, full of symbolism and rites, that affirmed an individual's journey towards maturity. For girls, this significant transition was tied to one of nature's own rhythms, the onset of menses. But it was far more than just a biological occurrence, it was a societal declaration that echoed throughout her community. This event signaled her journey from girlhood into womanhood, closing the chapter on her childhood. Once a girl reached this milestone, her role within her family and society began to transform. Preparations for her future familial roles, especially motherhood, were given increased focus. The community began to regard her not just as a girl, but as a woman, ready to embark on the next chapter of her life. On the other hand, boys encountered their own distinct passage into manhood. The ceremony of circumcision, a tradition widely practiced in ancient Egypt, served as a clear demarcation of their journey into adulthood. This symbolic rite was not just a medical or hygienic procedure as it may be perceived today. Indeed, this ritual held profound social significance. It signified that the boy had now transitioned into the responsibilities and expectations of manhood. He was no longer just a son or a brother. He was a young man, ready to contribute to his family, his workforce, and his society in new and meaningful ways. Both these milestones in a young Egyptian's life were pivotal moments, forever altering their role in the family and in society. They weren't simply growing up in years. They were transitioning into a phase of life that demanded new responsibilities, offered new roles, and opened up new possibilities. Now, isn't it fascinating to see how ancient Egypt's societal constructs influence these personal transitions? Just as the ripples of a stone thrown into a pond extend outward, so too did these rites of passage resonate throughout the community, reinforcing age-old traditions and cultural norms. As we continue our exploration of life in ancient Egypt, we come across an aspect that strikes a particularly resonant chord in our modern minds: education. Education, you see, was not a universal right, but rather a privilege. It was a mirror reflecting the clear stratification within the society. Let's delve into this a bit more. Children fortunate enough to be born into the higher echelons of society, such as those of scribes and other influential figures, had access to a form of structured learning that feels familiar even to us today. These privileged young minds were exposed to a comprehensive curriculum that included the study of hieroglyphs, the complex writing system that was key to administration and communication. It didn't stop there. They delved into mathematics too, an essential tool for engineering the grand structures we associate with ancient Egypt. The educational approach of the time was rather rigorous. It emphasized on relentless repetition and memorization. Pupils spent long hours replicating texts, a method designed to perfect their orthography skills. This learning experience, as structured and formal as it was, prepared them for important administrative and religious roles. On the other side of the spectrum, however, children born into the peasant class didn't share the same opportunities. Their reality was a far cry from the formal schooling system. Their education was largely experiential and practical, derived from their immediate surroundings. You see, these children learned the skills required for fieldwork or for managing a family business. This kind of education was hands-on, immersed in the day-to-day necessities of life. It was imparted within the home and the fields, turning their everyday environment into a living classroom. This stark contrast in educational opportunities presents an interesting snapshot of societal inequality in ancient Egypt. The key to unlocking knowledge and advancement was closely tied to the accident of one's birth. Yet, it is also a testament to their understanding of the necessity and value of education, be it formal or experiential. So, as we piece together this puzzle of ancient Egyptian life, we find that education was not just about learning and knowledge. It was also a lens through which we can view the social and economic disparities of the era. Now, let's switch gears and dive into an aspect of ancient Egyptian society that is incredibly compelling: their spiritual beliefs, particularly as they relate to children. One might say it paints a rather beautiful picture, intertwining the tangible and the ethereal. The ancient Egyptians had a unique concept called the Ka, often translated as the vital essence or life force. The Ka was thought to be a spiritual double that lived within every individual and that separated from the physical body upon death. But more than that, it played a role in defining the living too, particularly the relationship between a father and his children. Children, in the eyes of the ancient Egyptians, were seen as extensions of their father's Ka. Think of this as a spiritual lineage. The offspring were not just biological continuations of their fathers, but embodiments of their spiritual energy as well. And this interpretation of lineage is not merely a matter of inheritance. It extends into the metaphysical realm, suggesting a spiritual connection that endures beyond mortal life. What does this mean for the parent-child bond? Well, it adds depth and a sense of eternity to it. The bond between a father and his children is not just about the shared experiences of their lifetimes. It's about an eternal spiritual connection that survives even death. Through this belief, we can understand the profound significance of family continuity in ancient Egypt. The Ka was not just a spiritual double, but a symbol of generational legacy, binding the living to their ancestors. This is a narrative that transcends the physical world and reaches into the metaphysical, forever linking the past, present, and future. As we explore the world of ancient Egypt, we find that spirituality was woven into every aspect of life, including the perceived innocence of childhood. This spiritual connection between father and child is an extraordinary testament to the depth and complexity of ancient Egyptian belief systems, offering us a remarkable insight into their understanding of life, death, and what lies beyond. In our final segment, we're journeying into the intimate sphere of ancient Egyptian society. Yes, we're talking about childbirth and the care that surrounded this significant event. This is where life in ancient Egypt began for many, and it's a world away from the sterilized hospital rooms we're accustomed to today. Picture this: a warm, familial household serving as the backdrop to the transformative journey of childbirth. This is not a detached clinical environment, but one imbued with the familiarity of home. It's a scenario that conjures an image of deep communal support and familial bonding. At the center of this process were the midwives. These experienced women held an esteemed place in ancient Egyptian society. Their role was not merely practical, but also emotional. They facilitated the birthing process with ancient techniques and wisdom, offering both physical assistance and emotional support to the mother-to-be. But they weren't the only ones who were involved in the birthing process. Family members, particularly the women, rallied around, lending a hand during labor, providing comfort, and preparing for the arrival of the newborn. In some instances, the fathers too broke the norms of the time, participating in the process and offering their support. What's noteworthy is that the end of the birthing process didn't mean the end of specialized care. It was common practice during the Hellenistic and Roman periods in Egypt to entrust newborns to wet nurses. These women provided an essential service, nursing the infants and often caring for them during their early stages. This relationship between the nurse and the child's family was not casual but contractual, underscoring the recognition of this role in society. In fact, the contracts often spelled out the nurse's responsibilities, which sometimes extended beyond nursing to include early child rearing and basic education. In conclusion, childbirth and maternal care in ancient Egypt embodied a beautiful blend of practicality and community. It was a communal endeavor marked by warmth, deep bonding, and a profound sense of responsibility, all centered within the nurturing bounds of the family home. Such practices offer us a lens to appreciate the robust social fabric and the remarkable wisdom that characterized one of history's most enduring civilizations. In essence, our journey through childhood in ancient Egypt reveals a world deeply intertwined with cultural symbolism, societal norms, and deeply held spiritual beliefs. Children in this ancient civilization were not just seen as future adults. They were extensions of a lineage, bearers of societal norms, participants in deeply symbolic rituals, and, in essence, the living embodiments of their father's spiritual energy. Join us next week as we continue to uncover more fascinating aspects of ancient Egypt. Until then, keep exploring, keep learning, and remember, history is always more fascinating than fiction. This has been Ancient Egyptian History. We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. If you did, don't forget to subscribe and tell your friends about it. Until next time, stay curious, folks.